Thank you so much for joining us today at Three Trees Church Online. We are so glad to have you with us. Take a moment and share the content with your extended family and your friends so that they will be blessed by this powerful message and our time together. We also want to let you know to stay connected with us through threetrees.com and on our social media pages. And I want to remind you that you are in the right place at the right time.
All right, let's do this. Genesis chapter number 26, verse 12. In the New King James, it says this: Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. King James says he became very great. Verse 14. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines, the bad guys, the bullies, the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. And they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech, that's the king of the Philistines. Abimelech said to Isaac, said, go away from us. You are much too strong. It's time for you to go. You're becoming the chip leader, and we don't like that around here, so we need you to leave. In verse 17, Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Verse 18 is what I want you to catch. It's what we're preaching today, verse 18. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. I want to preach today on the idea of well diggers. With the help of the Holy Spirit, my prayer is that you're going to have a verse 18 moment today. Somebody say amen. Let's pray. God, do something here. It's preaching time. It's my final service. These people have come expecting a word from God. These people have come to this place searching for a nugget from your word and to be in your presence. And God, we need it. The entrance of your word bringeth light. Bring light to somebody's situation today in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. My family, our heritage, our legacy goes back to the great state of West Virginia. You ever heard the song that says, almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountain, Shenandoah River. I sing it like a Pentecostal. That's the only way you know how to do it. But Mountain Mama, right? Or almost heaven. You know why West Virginia is almost heaven? Because it's right next to Kentucky. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. But way back in the mountains of West Virginia, in a small county called Roane County, there's a piece of property that is in Tariff, West Virginia. And you can see on the screen this cabin. This cabin is where my family hails from. In fact, this cabin is the heritage that my grandfather in the 1920s was born in that cabin. Not just my grandfather, but my great-grandmother, Gertie Conley, she sounds handsome, doesn't she? Old Gertie. Gertie was born in there too. And not only was my grandpa and my great-grandmother, but my great-great-grandfather was born in that cabin as well. His name was Calvin Conley. Not only that, but his parents, Louisa Conley and Thomas Montgomery Conley, built that cabin in the 1800s. My family still owns that property with that cabin still on it. And it's surreal to go back to that property, to walk around the premises and to see everything that my ancestors saw, to walk through the buildings and the barns, to look at the mountains in the distance and realize my grandpa played in this field and my great grandmother played in this field. And way back It's so far back in West Virginia, you got to head toward town to hunt. That's how far back. It's so way out there. And in this small little cabin area on this property, there's a well. And that well, to this day, still has water in it. There, it hasn't fallen in. It hasn't dried up. This well still exists. And it's kind of surreal to imagine that that well is what has sustained my family. My ancestors drank from that well. Their cattle were watered with that well. The garden, no doubt, had to be watered with that well. They cooked and cleaned and everything because of that well. The well was a life source. The well was a thing that if it did not exist, they would not exist. It represented something so powerful and important. A water with some well is a game changer. And in this story, the Bible says that they had wells on their property, that Abraham, his father, talking about Isaac, his father, had dug these wells before him. Let me just say this and pause, and this ain't the sermon, but can I just take a moment and thank God for the people who dug before I got here? Can we just take a second and begin to rehearse the idea of the people who have put their back into it, and because of their sacrifice and because of what they have done, you are here today? I think of people like the military that have sacrificed their lives and their time and their resources and effort, and because of brave men and women for generations now, we're here today drinking the wells of freedom. Thank God for people like that. Thank God for people who have put in the effort and dug the wells. Maybe it's financial. Could be a business that you inherited, or a family that taught you how to invest. Or some of us are just possibly walking in the blessing of family finances or some sort of thing that because somebody else prior to you did the work on their end, you now can drink from water on your end. Are you with me? I'm actually fairly certain that someone is always impacted by your digging. Actually, I'm convinced that you're here today and you know Jesus because of somebody else. You know Jesus because, now listen, you are saved simply by the grace of God, right? The Bible says you're saved by grace through faith. Not of anything you can do. There's nothing you can add to it. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But catch this for a moment. There's no doubt that you found out about Jesus because of somebody else. Somebody else digging. Somebody else praying. Somebody invited you to church. In fact, let me say this. The chair you're sitting on right now, somebody paid for it. The building that you're in right now, somebody believed for this. Somebody prayed for this. Somebody had a vision for this. Somebody broke ground for this. Somebody had faith for this. Somebody believed big, and somebody dug for it. Think about the Sunday school teachers that you may have had. Think about the people that you know. Think about the individuals that if it wasn't for their hard work, I'm thankful. I think of people like my father, who's a pastor, still pastoring, should stop, but still does. Don't tell him I said that. But anyway, he pastors right now. He's a well digger. All five of his kids are serving in ministry today. That's a well digging parent. My grandmother, who just recently passed away, she was a well digger. She knew all these little brethren songs that nobody in our entire family knew but her. Her mother, her name was Grace Bateman. And she was a woman who loved the presence of God and loved your word. Those are well diggers. And I'm thankful for what God has done in my life through well diggers. I know it's the same for you. You know, we live in a culture right now where everybody's like trashing the church. And nobody believes in the church. You know, that church down there, you know, I don't know all that money. I don't know what, you know, this just corrupt. And it's just, let me say this. I'm thankful for the local church. I'm thankful for pastors, and I'm thankful for worship leaders, and I'm thankful for people that sacrifice and people that give, and I'm thankful for the lobby, and I'm thankful. I'm a church kid. I love everything about it because I know this. The church is God's plan A to save the world, and there is no plan B. God has used churches in communities for hundreds of years, and the church isn't going anywhere. It doesn't matter. I actually can tell you this. You can close the doors, but you can't stop the church. You can try to ban it, but you can't stop the church. You can try to bury it, but you can't stop the church. There's something about the power of the local church. And we're here today because somebody somewhere just kept on digging for it, kept on praying for it, kept on meeting together. And in 2020, the church is still building because on this rock, I will build my church. Is there anybody here today that's thankful for well diggers in the local church? Now, there is in this passage, we find this situation that the Philistines were not feeling this growth, this prospering of Isaac. They were not loving the idea that Isaac was walking in greatness, that Isaac was moving in the plan and the purpose and the destiny of God. Back in the earlier part of Genesis chapter 12, God speaks to Abraham, says, I'll make your name great. You and your descendants shall be blessed. Isaac is just walking in the blessing that God spoke, and the Philistines got mad. The Philistines got upset, and the Bible says the way they dealt with it was that they began to fill in the wells that was on his property. They begin to fill in the life source. They begin one scoop at a time, one little drop of dirt at a time, one shovelful at a time to fill in the wells. Wells were precious. They were difficult and expensive to build. It would have been a significant attack on a person to fill in their wells. And the Philistines became so threatened by the purpose and the plan of God on Isaac's life that they begin to fill in the well. Can I tell you something today? I don't know what the devil looks like. I'm not like a demonologist. I don't really get all that. Probably should because I'm a preacher. But watch this. One thing I do know about the devil, he comes to steal. Come on, help me. Comes to steal, he comes to kill, and to destroy. He's coming to fill the wells. He's coming to throw your family off of the faith track they're on. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to question if God's even real. He wants you to live a life substandard. He wants to cut off the life source, one scoop at a time. What's filling your well? Is it that bankruptcy that you just couldn't avoid in 2020? Is it that divorce? Is it that discouragement you feel when you go to bed at night? Have you ever been to a service and went to raise your hand to worship God and the devil just sneaks in and says, do you know what you did last night? You know what you've been doing. You know the thoughts that you think. You know who you are. And the enemy just comes in to try to fill in the wells. You're not that smart. Nobody in your family graduated from college. Nobody in your family could ever walk in the plan and the purpose of God. You're just a nobody. And he's just sneaking in these comments, these conversations. I hate demonic commentary. Always got something to say. Every time you turn around, the devil is coming in to just fill your wells in. Are you with me today? What's so interesting to me is as the devil is trying to cut off the life source, what's interesting to me, the Bible says that he didn't dig the wells, the Philistines didn't fill the wells until Abraham was dead. Did you catch that? Like they didn't even try. But the moment the guy who dug it dies, they'll fill him in. That's actually powerful. And I can't get off focus, but let me just say this. The enemy will hit you when you're most vulnerable. He'll hit you late at night. He'll hit you after that funeral. He'll hit you after that meeting on the business. He'll hit you in moments where you're depressed and broken and sad and wondering and questioning. He'll make you question your faith. He'll make you question your home life. He'll make you question your sanity. How much different would your life be now if you didn't let him fill the wells then? There's no doubt that I'm sitting in a room of people right now that have fought with some wells. It's been difficult to keep them open. It's been difficult in the years past for you to keep your head up and keep your prayer life strong and to keep focused and to keep your faith moving in the right direction, because there's always an enemy coming. Paul said it like this: when I do good, evil was always present. Always. Can't get around it. No way, no how, baby. The devil has come to fill some wells. The enemy wouldn't want Three Trees Church to survive and to become great. He would do everything he can to throw dirt on this. He would do everything he can to fill in a marriage that is moving in the right direction. I'm actually certain that the devil doesn't just walk into churches and split churches. What he does, he starts filling dirt on the worship team. There's like a little division in the worship team. How come she got a solo? I didn't get no solo. I hate her face. You know, something like that. Just filling in a little bit of dirt here and there. Just something a little more, something a little more. I'm not sure the enemy just comes in and rips homes apart and grabs physical marriage certificates and rips them in half. What he does do is he begins to drop dirt in the heart of a husband or the heart of a wife, and a dirty, messed up, filled in well will end in divorce. He didn't make the divorce happen. Something happened in us. Sometimes we're always thinking that the enemy's going to get our kids. Half the time I think the parents, as us, sometimes we're so messed up, our wells get so filled, we'll screw the kids up ourselves. Half of us don't even need the devil for the decisions we make. He's unnecessary. Are you with me? The enemy has come to fill the wells. And now here's what's really powerful. Here's what's really powerful. In this story, there's like no significant reference to anything supernatural. Like, it's actually kind of like, why does this even get in the Bible? Because you'll read stories, Hunter, and they'll say stuff like Moses and the Philistines, or excuse me, the Egyptians are behind him, right? The Israelites are all running from Egypt. He's in front of the Red Sea, and he holds up a staff, and the water parts. Obviously God. Clearly. Everybody there knew that was God. Nothing like blind Bartimaeus, who screams from the side of the road and is healed in front of a crowd of people. That undeniably, that was God. But in this particular passage, it's just a man with a shovel. And he just starts to redig the wells that the enemy had filled. Let me ask you a question. When you're praying for God to take the dirt, is he asking you to dig? While we are oftentimes praying, God, take away the pain, take away this, take away that, fix this situation, fix this, fix that. And God's wanting to know, are you willing to dig? God, fix my marriage. Fix it. It's a mess. It's this. And God said, okay, are you willing to go to counseling? Come on, church, talk back to me. God, I need you to help my finances. It's a mess, and we need a miracle on our money. God's like, all right, start to budget. Because some miracles don't always look sensational. And oftentimes we are very given to over-spiritualizing something that we're responsible for. You didn't hear what I just said. We have a responsibility to certain things. We have a responsibility to dig and to fight for it and to push for it. When you see in Scripture that there's no supernatural, there's no angels, there's no demon, there's nothing really big happening, other than the idea that Isaac started to dig. Can I tell you today what the enemy has tried to fill in? You have a responsibility to dig your way out. Nobody else can dig for you. Your kids are waiting for you to dig, Dad. Your mother is waiting for you to dig, child. Your potential is waiting. Your future, your marriage, your destiny. There is no progress if we're not willing to get dirty. If we're not willing to throw our back into the way and say, you know what? I know that God has a purpose and a plan and a destiny for my life, and I'm willing to dig for it. I know everybody else can say this and say that, but I'm going to dig for it. Everybody else may not be thinking it's going to work, and I know I didn't graduate high school, and I know things aren't going well, and I know I live in this part of town, but what would happen if you had the mentality that I'm going to dig for it? I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to push for it. Let me tell you like this, man. My wife and I, we're starting this church, right? And it's like super exciting, you know, to be thinking of doing something great for God in a pandemic, you know, since God doesn't watch the news ever. We're going to start this church. And starting this church, I get like a vision in my head, right, man? It's like I'm dreaming big. I get it in my head and I'm like, all right, we're going to reach this kind of people, and we're going to feel, I can see the lobbies and the people and the church, and I can see everybody getting along, and I can see a healthy church team and people worshiping God, and I can see the word of God going out and people's lives being transformed. And I see it. I see the water. I see it. But I'll go to bed that night. It's like the enemy just comes in. He'll be like, hey, where are you going to get all the money to do this church? I'm like, good question, devil. I ain't got no money. So he just digs a little scoop, goes in my well. Ethan, where are you going to find the people for this church? There's already churches in town. They don't need you. Oh, yeah, it's a good point, you know. That church over there, it's a great church. And just, you know, and I'm just helping. Now, at this point, I got a shovel too. Me and the devil filling in my wells. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever just help the devil out? Like, you know what? Let me help you, Satan. This is up. Where are you going to get the property at? It's expensive in Worcester. It's hard to find a house. Where are you going to find a church? How are you going to do this? How are you going to pay for it? How are you going to gather folks? How are you going to do this? And I'm like listening to him, and all of a sudden it's just like my well's filling and all the vision and excitement I had is just gone. And you can ask my wife, is this for real what I do? I promise you I do this. I'll get up. Middle of the night, because I actually feel that spiritual. I feel like the devil fights us at night, you know. God can talk at that time, and also the devil talks a lot. And I get up in the middle of the night, and I walk the floors, and I know everybody's different, and everybody's got a different style, but I promise you, I'll get up in the middle of the night, and I have to quote scripture, and I got to tell myself, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What am I doing? I'm just digging my way out. I'm just going to use the Bible. I'm just going to dig a little bit. I'm going to dig because I'm not going to let the enemy talk me out of the well. I know I got to hit. And I just think there's a teenager in Worcester, Ohio, that legitimately is on drugs. That if you don't start this church, and if you don't dig, and if you don't put your back into it, maybe, just maybe, he may walk in the freedom of God. Maybe there's a husband in Worcester, Ohio. Maybe there's a lost woman or son or daughter that are on their way to hell. And I have to dig so that they can find water. I have a responsibility to dig. And the enemy will come in and try to tell me to quit and to throw in the towel, just like he tells you. You can't make this marriage last. You're not good enough. You're not spiritual enough. And he's just filling in the wells. But what would happen if you just got something on the inside that said, I'm digging my way out. My home, we're digging our way out. As for me and my house, we're digging our way out. There's nothing the devil can do to me if I got something in me that's willing to dig. Somebody shout, dig. I gotta dig for my kids. I gotta dig for my purpose. I don't feel like it some days, but I get up anyway and I fight for it. Because I gotta dig. In May of 2013, an inmate in a Russian prison, he was 33 years old. He escaped from that prison. He had dug a hole in his room, climbed through a ventilation system. He got to a wall and jumped to his freedom. And you know what's crazy, man? You know what's crazy? They began to investigate the escape, and they only found one thing. This is a Shawshank miracle. He Andy Dufresne'd it. How did he do that? How did somebody who's incarcerated get to freedom? One scoop at a time. It may not seem like much to everybody else, but if you're determined, you dig, baby. If it may not seem impressive, and everybody could be like, well, why is he tithing down to that church? You may see a tithe envelope, but I see a little dig. I'm digging my way out of this thing. People may see you raising your hands. People may see you being committed, being faithful. What are you doing? You're digging your way out. It may not seem like much. It may not seem like a big education. It may not seem like a whole lot of money in the bank account. It may not seem like a whole lot of talent. It may not seem like a whole lot of giftings. But if I'm willing to dig, I know I'm going to hit water. If I'm willing to dig, I know my marriage could be transformed. If I'm willing to dig, I know my kids can get saved. If I'm willing to dig, I know my ministry will come to pass. If I'm willing to dig, baby, I know I'm going to hit water. In 2020, there's still water flowing, and I've come to serve the devil notice and prophesy to somebody today, you can still get water. It didn't dry up. There's no expiration date. Your ministry's not dead. You can still have that baby. You can still start that business if you're willing to dig. I come to tell you, you can still hit water. Somebody say, dig the wells. Dig the wells. Fight for it. Everything you got, just fight for it. Maybe tired some days, but fight for it. You may be weary some days, but if it's just one scoop a day, if it's just that little devotion time, scooping my way out. If it's just a little bit of prayer, just do everything you got, because the devil's done everything he can to try to stop up the well that belongs to you, belongs to your family, belongs to your destiny. Come on, let's dig. I come from the legacy of diggers, and I can't let my son and daughter down. Can't let my ministry down. You can't let your legacy down. Your future you is begging you to dig. And fight through that depression, and fight through that anger, and to fight through those feelings, and to know that God still has water, even if it seems stopped up.
Hey church, thank you so much for joining us at Three Trees Church Online. We believe that you are in the right place at the right time. I want to encourage you and let you know that Three Trees is continuing to find needs and meet needs. Your generosity makes that possible.
It helps us to continue to be a life-giving and need-meeting ministry. There are three ways you can give. You can visit us at threetrees.com/give. You can mail your tithe and your giving to P.O. Box 399, Columbia, Kentucky, 42728. Or you can text a give by texting the word give to the number 270-250-7595. Thank you for your generosity. We want to encourage you, as always, to stay connected with us, share the content, and stay submitted to Christ. Church, we love you. God bless you. Thank you so much for your faithful generosity.
Come on, church. Come on, right where you are, put those hands together. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. Come on, let's praise our Savior together. He's been so good. Let's celebrate Him.
Salvation, tearing through the dead of night.
Come on.
See the kingdom burst into color at the speed of light.
Oh, there's freedom.
Freedom, shaking up this atmosphere. As the shadows fade into nothing as the day appears.
Oh, beyond.
Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one, Jesus our God.
Here we go.
Oh, we look to the sun. Set our eyes on our Savior. See the image of love. Sing His praises forever. Creation, waking up to kingdom come.
I'll see His hope right where you are.
See the hope of heaven shining like the rising sun. Now and forever, now forever, we're lifted up from death to life.
And there's no fear.
There's no fear in love. There's no darkness in His endless light. Yeah. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun.
Come on.
Set our eyes on our Savior. See the image of love. Sing His praises forever. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one is Jesus our God.
Oh, beyond.
Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one is Jesus our God. To the sun,
come on.
Hey, hey. Oh, we look to the sun. Yeah, yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, we look to the sun. Set our eyes on our Savior. See the image of love. Sing His praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
come on, praise His name. Jesus, we praise You. Oh.
Thank you so much for joining us for Worship and Word today at Three Trees Church Online. If you made a fresh start in Jesus, we want to celebrate with you. I wanted to encourage you to text the word CONNECT to the number 270-560-0005. And as always, for everyone that is viewing today, I want to encourage you to stay connected with us at threetrees.com and through our social media pages. And as always, share the content with your family and your friends so that they will be blessed by the powerful message. I want to make you a promise that if you go with God, He will go with you, and greater things are yet to come.